Chinese prayers, rotary.
Well, woo! That's for somebody taller than me. Well, hi, y'all. Thank you. It's been a busy time for me the last year, I guess you could say. So why am I here today? I got asked a few months ago to help facilitate a UAMS grant-funded program. It was UAMS. There's a whole list of people involved, and it's at the end of the slide. And the U.S. Department of Health to help facilitate in our community or in our county, which is Fulton County, a vaccine grant program in conjunction with Palace Drug. And MJ could not be here today, but he with his work schedule today, but that's kind of what led to this. And in me reaching out and doing vaccine clinics at different places and doing education and that kind of thing, I happened to notice that Rotary International has now, the president, they've switched gears from the polio vaccine to COVID vaccine. So I thought it was a good fit to present to y'all what's going on here local and what Rotary International is focusing on. So if my computer works, I'm going to try to attempt to... Okay, so this is off the Rotary International page. And they talk about why vaccines matter. Those of you that read your magazine or read your website probably already have seen this. And there's a video, I don't have it, but of the international president of Rotary talking about what they've done to eradicate polio and how much has been invested around the world to do so, $2.4 billion. And then immunizing more than 2.5 billion children in 122 countries. So now they're talking about the, as they refer to it, a deadly and disruptive disease as COVID. And so since March of 2020, Rotary has contributed $30 million to support community resources or response efforts. And they're preparing to face the challenges that will be ahead. So they're building public trust and vaccinations through programs like I'm helping Palace Drug with and ensuring equitable vaccine distribution. And that's an issue. We just did Pioneer Days in Melbourne. Went down there thinking if we could give one vaccine, we would have a successful day. We gave 13 in less than 4 hours. But we had to go to 4 pharmacies to acquire those 13 vaccines. They can only get a few here and a few there. So that's something that they're working on, Rotary International. And so they want to be the forefront to make sure that every citizen, every global citizen is safe from COVID-19. And so that's on your Rotary International page. And now if I can figure out how to go back, I'll do so. You can't see this real good, but I'm going to pass it around. This is what the coronavirus looks like. So I'll explain it. COVID-19 is actually an illness caused by the coronavirus, and there are many types of coronaviruses, as you may or may not know. In humans and cattle and dogs and whatever. It's called this because it has a crown. Corona means crown. And some of them just cause a mild cold, while others, like COVID-19, cause severe symptoms and even death. And the virus is called the SARS-CoV-2. So the SARS is the severe acute respiratory syndrome, the COV, COVs, the coronavirus, and 2 is the second of its kind. over time, the COVID-19 virus has changed. So we've got variants, we've got Delta, we've got Omicron, we've got whatever's next, right? COVID-19 spreads through droplets. So someone who has it, if they breathe, they cough, they sneeze, and then those droplets get into your mouth, your eyes, your nose. They can land on surfaces that you touch. And if you touch a surface that has COVID-19 and then you touch your eyes, nose, mouth, basically you get COVID-19. You may not know you have it. You may be a carrier. You may spread it without knowing. And we know people here probably that have been carriers and not realized it. So everyone's at risk for getting it. So who's at risk? Everyone. It's because it passes easily from person to person. Even if you've had it, you can get it again. You're more likely to get it, and y'all have heard this, if you're within 6 feet of someone, if you don't wear a mask, and if you don't wash your hands often. Doesn't prevent you from getting it, but it increases your risk of exposure to getting it. That's what that slide says, and Nancy, I'll pass that around so you can see that virus, what it looks like.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So how serious is COVID-19? If you get it, you could have no symptoms at all. You could have mild symptoms, such as those that you have with a cold. But this virus causes major damage to your lungs. It could cause serious health problems, such as heart failure, kidney failure, blood clots, stroke. If you have severe symptoms, you could need hospitalization or life-saving measures, and you can die from COVID-19. You don't know how it will affect you. We all know someone here that is had it, that has passed away from it, and we know people, I think probably most of us that know people of all ages that have it or have had it. So even if you get a mild case at first, you don't know how it can affect you later. You could have a chronic lung disease or long-lasting side effects. Some of those, tiredness that don't go away. I personally know people that are 20 years younger than me that have permanent lasting side effects, that, you know, they're a year out of having COVID and they're still having side effects. Trouble thinking clearly, and that may make it hard to work. Shortness of breath, hair loss, that's been a big one. A lot of complaint about hair loss. I see that with people I know. You know, why is my hair falling out? And it's just one of those long-term lasting side effects. Over time, this virus again will change and have new variants. And once you get new variants, you may have more severe symptoms or different types of symptoms. So in this community health training, so the grant through UMS and U.S. Department of Health has funded 120 community health workers just in the state of Arkansas. This is an Arkansas pilot program, so to speak, with UAMS. And so one of the big concerns is addressing the misinformation and the vaccine hesitancy. So we're going to talk about the myths, the misinformation, and the rumors. So the ingredients in the vaccine are dangerous. We've all heard that. Now, I'm not here to be a proponent or anti-vaccine. I'm here to give you information and not to debate it. So I'm just passing on what I've been taught. The ingredients in the vaccine are dangerous. These are misinformation. Natural immunity is better than immunity from being vaccinated. The vaccine causes variants. The vaccine alters my DNA. It makes me sick with COVID, and it can affect my fertility. Okay, so the myth is the ingredient in COVID-19 vaccine is dangerous. The facts, nearly all the ingredients in the COVID-19 vaccines are ingredients in many of our foods, fats, sugars, and salts. I do have a slide that breaks it down, and it's hard to see, but I'll go over part of it. COVID-19 vaccines do not contain ingredients like preservatives, tissues like aborted fetal cells, antibiotics, food proteins, medicine, latex, or metals. COVID-19 vaccine ingredients are also used in other common vaccines. So here's the thing with the ingredients, and let me just kind of read those. I know that's hard to see. It's been compared to an apple seed. When I first was taught this, I laughed a little bit, because in one of my trivias that I did one time for Thayer alumni, that was one of the questions about an apple seed, because they're toxic. If it taken in too many, and we're not talking about 124 apple seeds here. We're just talking about one apple seed. So let me make that clear. All right, so there's glycoproteins, there's some plant-derived cholesterol, there's sodium phosphates, there's common food salt, basic table salt, basic table sugars, and several other different proteins, and I can't say their names. But that's pretty much the ingredients in COVID-19 vaccine. And then you can see on this, when I pass it around, the chemical composition of an apple seed and the alcohols that are found in apple seed. So the reason 124 apple seeds can be toxic and lethal is because they contain cyanide. So this myth, natural immunity is better than immunity from being vaccinated. Well, natural immunity is immunity gained from COVID infection. Persons who were unvaccinated, had 2.3 times greater odds of reinfection than those infected and vaccinated. There are fewer health risks associated with the vaccine, and natural immunity can be very expensive. I mean, you may go through a lot of health care to get through that natural immunity. Myth, vaccines can cause variants. The facts, variants occur through natural ongoing processes known as mutation or change. The more widespread a virus, the more opportunities it has to change. High vaccination coverage in a population reduces the spread of a virus. COVID-19 vaccines can actually help prevent new variants from emerging. Myth, this vaccine alters my DNA. The facts, COVID vaccines do not change or interact with your DNA in any way. The generic material delivered by mRNA vaccines never enters the nucleus of your cell, which is where your DNA is kept. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine does not have the machinery needed to integrate its genetic material into our DNA, so it cannot alter our DNA. There were questions about that. Yes, there are issues with the Johnson & Johnson for a certain population of people, and I've got some information on that. After the body produces an immune response, it discards all the vaccine ingredients, just as it would discard any information that cells no longer need. The myth that vaccines can make me sick with COVID-19, the facts are, none of the authorized COVID-19 vaccines in the United States contain the live virus that causes COVID-19. The vaccine cannot make you sick with COVID-19. COVID-19 vaccines teach our immune systems how to recognize and fight the virus that causes COVID-19. Sometimes this process can cause symptoms such as fever from the immune response. These symptoms are normal and are signs that your body is building better protection against the virus that causes the COVID-19. The myth that the vaccine can affect fertility. Currently, there is no evidence that shows that COVID-19 vaccine causes fertility problems in women or men. Many women have become pregnant after receiving the COVID-19 vaccine, including some who got vaccinated during the clinical trials of the vaccine. Recent studies have found no difference in pregnancy success rates among women who had the COVID-19 and women who had never been infected. Scientists have not found an increased risk for miscarriage among people who receive the COVID-19 vaccine. Research studies of fertility in healthy men. Currently, there's no evidence that show any vaccines, including COVID-19, cause male fertility problems. One study found that COVID-19 infection may be associated with a decline in fertility for men up to 60 days after their infection. Fever from illness has been associated with a short-term decrease in sperm production in healthy men, although fever can be a side effect of a COVID-19 vaccine. There is no current evidence that fever after COVID vaccination affects sperm production. Then there's these pediatric concerns. Pediatric vaccination options is Pfizer. Pediatric hospitalizations, 122,308 ages 0 to 17 from August 20 to May of 22. Pediatric deaths, 0 to 4-year-old, there were 479. 5 to 11-year-olds, 356. 12 to 15-year-olds, 378. 16 to 17-year-olds, 307. Pediatric COVID complications, though it's very rare, some children who have had COVID-19 may later develop multi-symptom and inflammatory syndrome in children, known as MISC. It's a rare but serious condition that's associated with COVID-19 infection. We've had 66 deaths out of the 7,880 cases. So adverse events, pediatric vaccine. There is a rare risk of myocarditis and pericarditis associated with COVID-19 vaccination, mostly among males aged 12 to 39 years of age. This rare risk can be further reduced with a longer interval between your first and second doses. Tens of millions of children and teens aged 5 through 17 have received at least one dose of COVID vaccine. Through continued safely monitoring, COVID vaccination has been found safe for children and teens. The benefits outweigh the unknown and outweigh the potential risk. The CDC recommends that everyone ages 5 and older get vaccinated against COVID-19, and everyone ages 12 and older should also get a COVID-19 booster shot. These are some vaccine updates from May, early May. Moderna, because it changes constantly. Moderna recently requested FDA authorization for COVID vaccine for children ages 5 and younger. Moderna had previously requested emergency use for 6 to 11-year-olds and 12 to 17-year-olds. And no regulatory decisions are expected, and this was the beginning of the month, for these vaccines on the Pfizer or the Pfizer for children under 5. They are still pushing for that children under 5. This is COVID-19 tools and updates. This is healthyarkansas.gov. You can, let me see if I got this printed off. This was through May 17th, 2022. Total in the state was 838,971. Total active cases as of that date was 2,527, and total deaths was 11,418. Vaccinations were 5,236,750. Percent doses overall was 77%. Individuals that are fully immunized, meaning they're all caught up on their initial and their boosters, was 1,592,240. Currently, there were 56 hospitalized and 6 on ventilators. There was 36,840 that had ever been hospitalized and 3,728 on ventilators. You can go to healthyarkansas.gov and you can look at this. It's updated daily. When I did this, I hadn't updated it since May 17th. The Pulaski, Washington, and Benton County, they continue to be kind of the higher county numbers. And it'll also let you go in and put in a particular county. And I'll show you that on a different screen because I want to show you Oregon County as well, because you can put any state in. This one's just Arkansas. Johnson & Johnson vaccine has been limited and restricted due to increased blood clot risk. 14.1 million doses were administered from August of 2021. That's actually when I got my vaccine, and it was the Johnson & Johnson, and I never had any effects that I'm aware of. And 15% of these cases from the blood clot risk are fatal, still available, but in some cases someone can't receive the other two options. So right now, if I want a booster, I'm getting a Moderna or a Pfizer. We can't get the Johnson & Johnson right now. So they've done some name changes along the way. Pfizer, biotech, I can't even say that. But anyway, if you see a name change, it's just a brand name, or they might have changed the name just a little bit. Pfizer's had some name changes. Moderna, you might have heard it as Spikevax. No change was made to the formula. They just try to confuse us and change the name. That's pretty much it. And it's for individuals 18 and older. In this particular program, Palace Drug is only doing 18 and older. They will do 12 and older, but they have not gotten enough pediatric vaccines to do the younger. Vaccine updates, people aged 12 through 64 and males aged 12 through 39 years may consider getting a second dose of Pfizer or Moderna 8 weeks after their first dose, which is a lot sooner than what we are thinking in our 3 months. This change may increase the protection of the vaccine and minimize the rare risk of heart problems, including myocarditis and pericarditis. 6 weeks, goes to 8 weeks. Sorry, I said that backwards. This recommendation for 5 to 11, 65 and older, or those at high risk, hasn't changed. So you get your Pfizer and you get your third dose 3 weeks later, and then you get Moderna, or you get your dose, 4 weeks after your first. The 8 weeks after, longer period, I said shorter, is to help decrease that myocarditis in those age groups. People who've had COVID-19 should wait to receive any vaccine, including a COVID-19 vaccine, until they recover and complete their isolation period. People who recently had COVID-19 may consider delaying their next booster by 3 months. So if you recently had it and you want to delay your booster. Reinfection is less likely in the weeks to months after infection. And personal risk of severe disease, local COVID-19 community level, and the dominant variant could be reasons to get a vaccine sooner rather than later. CDC still recommends masks for travel. There's not a mandate unless you're in a healthcare facility or airport or some other maybe government offices. They do these releases all the time, and the best stuff changes daily, and they anticipate with upcoming flu season that there might be an increase of that mask wearing again. But they recommend that everyone age 2 and older probably wear a well-fitted mask, especially in areas of public transport or indoor areas where there's a lot of people. So that's pretty standard. You guys know the mask stuff. I'll try to kind of skip over that. So here's this tool. If I can get it to work, it's on the cdc.gov website. All right, so you can go here and you can go to your state. And like I said, this is updated every day. And you can see what's reported. And we all know that not all of these cases are reported. Some people do a home test and it's positive and they don't tell anybody about it. They stay home. But for the things that are reported, you can see that it's low right now. Community level is low in Fulton County. Then we can go to Missouri. If I can... We can look at Oregon County, maybe. And you can also see that, according to the CDC's website, that community level is low. So you can check that out. If you're going, to Kansas or wherever, and you want to see what's going on in that county and state where you're going, you can do that, cdc.gov. All right, let me see. I think that it's kind of slow to go to the next slide. So reasons to get tested. If you have COVID-19 symptoms, at least 5 days after known or suspected close contact to COVID-19 for screening purposes, for your school, your workplace, places of congregated setting, before and after travel. You know, sometimes, especially going out of the country, you got to have a test, negative test 48 hours before. You got to test that day, then you got to test when you come back, or when asked by a healthcare professional or a public health professional. There's at-home tests. We all know that. We've seen them. They're a lot more accessible now than they were. You can find them just about anywhere. Some are free, some cost, but they're low cost, and you can test yourself. There's a quarantine and isolation calculator. It's also on the cdc.gov. For time's sake, I won't go to it, but you can, and it talks about how long should I quarantine, how long should I isolate, you know, it depend, and it tells you some information about that. Partnering organizations with this grant program, Arkansas Medical, Dental, and Pharmaceutical Association, the Arkansas Foundation for Medical Care, the Community Pharmacy Enhanced Services Network, Arkansas Rural Health Partnership, Tri-County Rural Health Network, the United Way of Northwest Arkansas, the Peacock Group, of course UAMS, the U.S. Department of Health, and many local pharmacies throughout the state, and ours would be Palace Drug. And if you want more information, they usually post some stuff on their site. This is palacedrug.com, and they have also a contact that you can contact and ask them. So we are going to set up some clinics. We set up the one in Izard County at Pioneer Days, just kind of see how that went. Stephen Mitchell, that owns Park Street Pharmacy in Calico, and Palace Drug, and Cave Springs, not Cave City, Cave Springs Pharmacy were the three pharmacies that sent vaccines to that particular day. They were there 4 hours, and like I said, they gave 13 vaccines. So that was very successful, and so we're going to have one evening at the reunion. I think it's I don't have the flyer on it yet, but it's that Wednesday, so I believe that's the 14th from 6 to 8. We'll set up a vaccine clinic, and we'll get information out on that. And then we're going to set up Wednesday, July 20th and Thursday, July 21st from 9:30 till 2 at the Fulton County Fair in Salem. And you can get your first, second, and booster doses, and they are going to, because UAMS is coming, and not just our local pharmacies, they are going to do children ages 5 to 18. They just have to be accompanied by a parent or legal guardian. You take a short survey, they'll give you a $20 gift card. If you get them through the Department of Health, I think right now you get either a free fishing and hunting license, maybe it's just a free fishing license, and you can get a lottery ticket. But this one is a $20 gift card, so all of these will be set up. And I guess that, you know, that's part of the grant to try to get people to do the vaccine. One thing that this grant does that the Arkansas Department of Health clinics, or just going to get in a clinic vaccine from your local clinic, does that the others don't, is transportation assistance. So there's this thing called 211. We know what 911 is, right? So 211, you dial it for transportation assistance. And I have the ability, or anyone has the ability, to get transportation assistance. If you want a vaccine but you don't have no way to come and get it, or if you know of people that don't have a way, this is how they get there. Also, on a local level, our pharmacist, MJ, he will go to you. He will go to your home. No matter how remote you are, he will get you a vaccine if you request a vaccine. So we can get transportation to, or we can get someone to you. And that's pretty much what I wanted to present to you all. I went ahead and printed off the Rotary and COVID vaccine response messaging, and I talked about that, but I just want to encourage you as a local club, because that's what they're doing. Rotary responds to COVID-19 pandemic by supporting the needs of communities worldwide. Rotary members have helped health authorities communicate life-saving information and donated protective gear and other supplies to clinics and hospitals under strain. With the development of COVID-19 vaccine, Rotary has a role to play. We are asking you to encourage your club to get involved. Rotary has tapped into its decades of experience bringing polio to the brink of eradication to highlight the power and efficiency of vaccines. Our tenacity, our strategic partnerships, and innovation can all support the effort to protect communities from COVID-19. Rotary reaffirms its commitment to polio eradication as the organization's only corporate project and acknowledges that our efforts on COVID-19 will be aligned with our partners in global polio eradication. The infrastructure created to end polio is already supporting these efforts to combat COVID-19. The Rotary Board of Directors and Rotary Foundation trustees agreed to create a joint task force that will develop and execute a plan to encourage Rotary and Rotaract clubs to support the introduction and delivery of COVID-19 vaccines, share information promoting the vaccine acceptance, and continuing ongoing efforts to stop this virus spread. We will keep clubs and members informed as this effort proceeds, and will continue to share information and stories on how Rotary is assisting in the effort to ensure communities are vaccinated and remain protected from this virus. And then it talks about Rotary involvement, community education, equitable distribution, combating misinformation, and stopping the spread. This all came off the Rotary website, and so I would personally ask y'all, if you want to partner with us on this project and would like to set up a vaccine clinic, there's no cost for Rotary to do it, but we will, UAMS will come over, Palace Drug will administer the vaccines, and we could set it up anywhere. You could set up in a community room. This can be done across the state line in Oregon County and Missouri and there, because we're a close-knit community, and I've already got approval to do that. So it's not limited to Fulton County or Arkansas. We can do this in there. So that's all I have, and if y'all want to set up a vaccine clinic, just let me know. We can make it happen. If we do one person, you've had a successful vaccine clinic. Any questions that I can answer?
I understand that the shots are and will remain free.
Yes. So, for some reason, I don't know what happened to that slide. I was probably trying to work on this later in the night than I should have. With this particular program, you don't even have to bring your insurance card. You know, if you get it through the Arkansas Department of Health, they ask if you have insurance to bring it so it can be billed, but even if they bill your insurance, you don't have an out-of-pocket cost. With this program, you're not even asked to bring your insurance card at all, because this grant is a multi-million dollar grant. And all you need to provide is, it says you do not need to provide, here's what you don't need to provide. You do not need to provide your Social Security number. You do not need to provide your citizenship proof. You do not need to provide insurance. So basically, you're coming, you're giving your name and date of birth, and you're getting a shot, and it's not costing you. Yes?
Do you percentage have been vaccinated in this area?
That I do not. It's on that cdc.gov. If you'll click on the state of Arkansas, it's broke down county by county, and my apologies, I didn't get that slide. And MJ probably knew that information, but since he wasn't able to be here, I didn't think to ask him of that. But I can try to find that out and let you know. Any others? That's all I have.
Thank you.